Hey everybody, Steve Fretzen here, and if you're enjoying this Be The Lawyer, you have to check out the other Be That Lawyer, Coach's Corner with Steve Fretzen. This is an opportunity for me to share my best tips and practices, give you a little insider information on how we do things here at Be That Lawyer. Check it out, and I know you'll enjoy it, and tell your friends.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Hey everybody, Steve Fretzen here, and welcome to the Be That Lawyer podcast. If you are a longtime listener, you need to make sure you're following us, you have to make sure you're liking us, you have to make sure you tell a friend or two. And if you're new to the show, you're going to be a fan because what we do every single week, twice a week, is bring you the best guests. We bring you amazing people. And guess what? Here's a big surprise. Today is no different. I've got Joanne Black waiting in the wings. How are you, my friend?
Fabulous. Always, Steve.
Awesome. 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 And we are going to have some great times today. Let's jump in and get to it because we want to give as much value in this 30 minutes as we can. And as you all know, if you're listening to the show, we are big into our quote of the show. And this is one I absolutely love. It's a quote. That's what it's called. But it is, if I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter. And that's, who is that? Blaise Pascal?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And so welcome to the show.
It was attributed to a lot of other people, but he is the first one.
I think Mark Twain got a little movement on that, but that's not right. Shame on you, Mark Twain, for purging someone else's idea. But welcome to the show and tell us why you love that quote so much.
It's a challenge for all of us. We know, you know, we're supposed to write these little tidbits of things that will get people's attention. It's the hardest thing to do. And that is loosely translated from the French, but that is the whole idea. And it's hard for everyone. So that's why it's one of my favorite quotes, because I don't know anybody who said, oh yeah, I can do that in 2 minutes or a minute or 60 seconds, right?
Yeah. I work with lawyers on a regular basis, helping them take their terrible, long-winded, drawn-out, detail-oriented emails and say, how about if we just do a sentence or two, right? And let's have a conversation on a phone or a Zoom, not in an email where people can misread and misunderstand and take it the wrong way. So I think it's really, you know, and again, I'm writing all the time to try to keep it tight and to try to think about words that are unnecessary so I can pull them out and make it tighter. And I think that's what it's all about. But it takes time to do that. Unfortunately, AI now is helping with that, right?
Yes. Yeah. But we still have to be vigilant about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, everybody, you're hanging out with me, Steve Fretzen, and my friend Joanne Black. And she is the founder of No More Cold Calling. And lawyers don't cold call, do they?
I don't know.
They don't.
I think some of them probably do.
Yeah, they do.
I hope they don't.
They don't, and they shouldn't. We want to teach them better ways. But welcome to the show again, and give us a little background on yourself and how you came to be and working with people to not cold call and get more referrals.
So my whole career has been in sales, and I never thought I'd be in sales because I was the shyest kid you know, definitely an introvert. And so then I learned that that's not what sales is about. It's about asking good questions, getting answers. And then we have an opportunity to talk because we have the information. Mm. So once I learned that, I was just way more comfortable. Yeah. And I learned that after graduating from college. And then fast forward a bunch of years, I worked for two consulting and training firms. And I started my own company in 1996. The reason is that my colleagues said, Joanne, the economy is great. You should really start your own company. So, okay, didn't think that much about it, but it had nothing to do with referrals, Steve, at all. What I thought I wanted to do was write in a business plan, a sales plan, because you couldn't find it there. So I don't believe in fate. I do believe in serendipity. Mm. And this management team at this company I was working with were doing a customer satisfaction survey of 50 of their best clients. And it was several rounds. And I asked this question on the last round. Would you be willing to be a referral to this company?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a 7-point scale, 7 high. My question comes back 6.5.
Yeah.
So couldn't wait till I got to the next management meeting. And I said, 50 of your best clients are saying they're glad to refer you. Are you asking? Well, you can probably guess the answer was no.
I wish we had sound effects. We could play crickets in the background.
Yeah. And it's no today. Yeah. So I said, okay, there has to be something here. And that's how I started.
Yeah. In legal, it's at a sort of an epidemic proportion of lawyers who are terrified of asking for referrals. I call them quality introductions because there's a difference. We'll talk about that later. And ultimately, the fear of asking for something that they shouldn't have or asking for something that is like going, you know, hey, they're already giving me $1 million. What am I going to, ask them for more? Like they're already giving me this business. Like there's just a big misunderstanding. So why do people have this misconception about their clients and asking for things?
So it's not just attorneys. About 5 years ago, a really seasoned sales guy, about 50 years old, somewhere around there, said, Joanne, I don't know why, I'm just not comfortable asking. So I decided to call out the elephant in the room, and I asked a lot of questions, asked about why. So it's things like, I don't want to feel like the used car salesman.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
That's the picture we get. Although, when we're doing good business, it's nothing like the used car salesman. That's not who good salespeople are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a biggie for me. They said it feels uncomfortable. I'm asking for help. And that feels weird. Oh, my goodness, what if they say no? It would be devastating. And then one of them said it felt desperate. Didn't know what that meant. So I asked, and he said, well, if I have to ask, it must be that I'm not very successful, because if I'm really successful, I wouldn't have to ask.
Yes.
It's kind of embarrassing, right? And then sometimes they say it's asking for a favor. Mm. Now, that drives me up a tree, Steve, because it's not a favor. A favor is the kind of thing where I do something for you, you do something for me. This is not it. And asking for help is the strongest thing you can do. You know, top business people, whether you're attorneys, salespeople, whatever company you're working for or firm, ask for help. And people are glad to give it.
Joanne, isn't the argument going to be that that's a sign of weakness? Like I'm weak and I'm asking for help because I'm weak.
Absolutely. And I learned long ago that wasn't accurate. So the last consulting firm I worked with, there was this top salesperson in New York. And he formed, for every client, he formed the biggest team. And they were clamoring to get on his team because he was so successful. And, when we think about it and we've grown our book of business, well, it's because we've had those referrals. It's because we've had great clients. And we need to change our mindset. They are glad to help. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, the promised land for any attorney is the phone doesn't stop ringing and it's business every time. And some rely on that and it happens. And others rely on that and then it doesn't happen and then they don't know what to do. All right. So, when I work with lawyers, helping them put together a business plan, one of the very first things I do, and I'm sure you do, is try to identify where's the business coming from and where should they be getting business? And are they leveraging low-hanging fruit? And I think you and I both know, that's going to be, clients, right? If we can get business from clients easier than going out and networking and meeting strangers and having to develop, something from nothing.
Absolutely. And, in every meeting I'm at, business meeting with colleagues, people in business, I ask this question. Have you asked every single one of your clients for a referral?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is always no.
Always no. Yeah.
So it's not just attorneys, everybody.
Yeah.
Because of this angst we feel in asking, because they just don't know how to ask.
All right. So let's get down to the meat and potatoes, because it's sitting right in front of us and we both want to address it. And that is, why are they afraid to ask? And why, what's the hesitancy? What's the gap between not doing it or doing it? And I have an answer, but I want to hear yours.
Well, it's embarrassing.
Okay.
I'm telling about how
them feeling
feel,
the idea that it's embarrassing.
Okay. And it gets back to asking for help. That means I'm weak. Okay. It's all of those things.
Okay.
And
so it's the head games.
So what they tend to do is say, either don't ask at all, or they stumble and they say, well, if you know anybody, anybody you could refer me to, please let them know. I mean, it's kind of that what I call begging and pleading.
Yeah. But I guess where I was going with this, Joanne, was not about more about their mindset. It was more like, all right, so what are we teaching them? What are we doing to help those people get over the hill to the other side of where business is.
Right. So it's really learning how to ask the language.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad to share. But there's things that come before them. I'm going to tell you the language.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you absolutely what not to say. So what not to say first. So I hear all the time, well, if you know anyone who, and then fill in the blank, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever they say. Well, here's my point of view. And you know I have definite ones about this.
You have a point of view?
Several. But that I don't know a named anybody. And think about it. If you say anybody, they don't know where to start.
Yeah.
With
it's
you.
A big, it's a big number. Anybody? Yeah.
And they say, no, I don't know anybody. But specificity what matters. And you need to paint a picture of the person you're looking for, starting with the problem. And so think of it this way. When a client came to you for your advice, your help, what was the problem? What were they facing? I mean, it's obviously going to be different for each of you depending on the area of law you practice, but there's always a problem. It's not a problem. None of us would be in business. So you have to start there. Remember when we started working together, you, and you need to take them because they just remember now that you've done things so well. And so taking them back to where they started and to where they are now and what their problem was. So you could say to them, remember when we started, you had this problem and now here we are. So you need to make that case, the from to problem solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all you need to say. And then you're going to ask, you know, based on that and the time we've worked together, who, that's the big word, who. You can't say no to a W word, by the way. Who, what, where, right? Who are one or two people you know I should meet? Or who are one or two people you know you can introduce me to? Introduction is an operative word.
And is it bringing back the situation, though, that had problems similar to yours or that have issues similar to yours? So it's the situation and that's helping to get their mind to come up with that name?
Well, absolutely. You need to get the situation and also the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So we're reminding them of when they started, you know, they came just not knowing what to do. They had this huge problem and this was the situation. So it could be something very similar to that. But it's really important to bring them back to where they are now.
Yeah.
Which is totally different than the situation. Yeah.
I've got a client who does, I just met him for lunch at the most amazing pizza place in Chicago called Barnaby's. If you're in Chicago, you know what I'm talking about, in the North Shore. And he's doing, let's say, 3 million. And, you know, he wants to introduce me, you know, like I asked him about introductions and he's like, yeah, there's a guy that, you know, that does about a half a million. I'm like, oh, that's kind of where you were. And, you know, so, you know, the situation is he wants to make equity. How do we move that needle? How do we get that person, you know, similar to you? You're now where you want to be. This person's where you used to be. And is there a story there that you can tell to make that introduction pop?
Absolutely. That's absolutely the way to do it, Steve. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they don't have any context.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to introduce you. So again, we have to help that person introduce us in the way we want to be introduced to the kind of person that we want to work with.
I want to just mention that this is not just for clients. This is in networking 101, everybody. You need to help people help you. And you're not doing that. What you're doing is you're saying, hey, if you think of somebody for me, or if you think about somebody that needs what I do, let me know. And then no one does. And you wonder why your phone's not ringing. When you meet with people for lunch or coffee or Zoom, you need to give them the language, the situation. You need to walk them through who and what the situation is. And come up with names. Like there's a lot of pieces to this, right?
There are a lot of pieces. I say all the time, it's simple. It's not easy.
Mm.
Because everybody will be doing this and they're not. So referrals then become the biggest competitive differentiator anybody has.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not happening. So those of us who are asking the right way, and to your point, Steve, are creating the picture and discussing with this person you'd like to meet and confirming. That's key. And then asking for the introduction.
Yeah.
Now here's, I want to say something about the introduction.
I hope so.
So before you're having a conversation and say this person says, oh yeah, I'd be glad to introduce you to Sue and Sue's situations. It's absolutely perfect. Okay. then I would say, what's the best way for you to introduce me?
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be that he's meeting with Sue next week, could be having dinner with Sue tomorrow. It could be he says, you know, she works best by email. So that in a minute, but you need to confirm the best way.
Yeah.
And to confirm it's the introduction, and also to give the person the language to introduce you. Yeah. So it's not just, I want to meet Steve. He's a great guy and he works with lawyers. That has to be the business reason. Again, the yeah. short blurb about why. So email. So my belief is that always has been, I'm modifying it a bit, that you'd never, ever, ever ask for an introduction through email because you don't have the opportunity to have the conversation you just talked about. However, if, Steve, you say, well, the best way is, you know, she's best with email. I'll tell you this. If you read, I'm just saying, Steve, you wouldn't do this, but if you read to Steve then to send the email, you don't know what Steve's going to say.
Yeah.
So it's up to us to write a short 2 or 3 sentence email to send to Sue and said, I met with Steve and I know that you need to talk to him, or I know you'll get a great value from the conversation, whatever. It needs to be your personality. And then you can have 2 to 3 lines on the business reason for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to refer Steve, because you're a good guy and you're a nice guy and we know each other. Yeah, but that's not why the reason's going to take a meeting.
Yeah.
We'll take a meeting because there's a business reason. And that's what we need to put. That's the short story.
Right.
That's the hardest to write.
Yeah. Or get them to say the story, like get them to repeat, like, you know, what situation were you in before? Where are you now? And what's the case to be made to your friend that meeting with me is a good idea? And get them to repeat it back, something to illustrate that they understand how an introduction is going to happen or why it may not happen, because the fact that I'm a nice guy isn't necessarily going to get someone over the hump to meet with me, right? They're busy. They need, that to your point, a business case. Hey, PI attorneys, if you're serious about scaling your firm, there's one event you can't afford to miss, PIMCon 2025. Happening October 5th through the 8th at the Phoenician Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona, PIMCon isn't your average legal conference. It's an experience. Learn how to take your firm from good to goat with some of the biggest trailblazers in the PI space, including yours truly, as we share our elite marketing and brand building strategies. Tickets on sale now at PIMCon.org. That's PIMCON.org. Or just hit the link in the show notes. Your climb to the top starts at PIMCon 2025. Let's go from good to goat. Hey, Be That Lawyer friends. If you're looking for smarter ways to grow your law practice and want to stay ahead of the curve in legal tech, business, and strategy, then it's time to check out Legalverse Media, the go-to hub for lawyers who want more. This international platform connects you with global thought leaders through articles, podcasts, webinars, and interactive forums that are shaping the future of law. Explore everything with a free 14-day trial, including early access to tools, peer discussions, and a chance to build your brand as a thought leader. Don't wait. Visit LegalverseMedia.com and register for membership today. Hey, everybody. It's Steve Fretzen. As the you know, I'm the host of the Be That Lawyer podcast. And if you're serious about growing your law practice, let's talk. I've coached hundreds of attorneys to build bigger books of business without selling, chasing, or wasting time. This isn't a sales pitch. It's a real 30-minute strategy session to explore what's possible for you in your practice. Just head over to Fretzen.com and grab a time that works for you, and let's make this your breakout year. I want to make one other point, Joanne. The worst thing that people are doing, and it's happening all over the place, and it drives me nuts, is somebody says they're going to make an introduction for me, and I'm thrilled about it. And they say, I'll just make an email connection for you two and let you take it from there. So now this person who never wanted to meet with me, doesn't know me from Adam, doesn't get the story that you're talking about. They just say, Steve, meet John, John, meet Steve. You two should talk. Steve's a great coach. And then they leave it in our hands. This guy, John, is running for the hills. Doesn't want to meet with me. That's for sure. Right. I'm scary. Right. I'm a coach. I'm scary. And I'm now chasing after this person who doesn't want to meet with me. So it's like the way I see it, like there could be a 3-way winner situation or there could be a 3-way loser situation. And because I didn't coach my friend or my client properly, it's going to be or could be a three-way loser. So I lose because I'm chasing after somebody. My client loses because I'm not happy with my client's effort. And if I ever end up talking with John, he may be not happy because he blew me off three times and I was dealing with someone who he didn't start off on the right foot. Versus if it's all done to your point, Joanne, the way it should, how much better could this intro be and how much more powerful could it be for it to actually happen?
Absolutely. So again, I'll say, you know, I'm going to refer you because you're a nice guy and I trust you. That's not the reason a person's going to take the meeting. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need to be very specific. And in that email, I always insist, recommend that you are copied on that email. So you have a way to follow up.
Yeah.
And this is not bad behavior. It's great behavior because you know how many emails we get in a day. And so you're copied and you can see that other person's response, that the person hasn't responded, then you can reach out to your client and, you know, have a little chat about why or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, we talk about referrals and I brought up earlier some different language and we can say tomato, tomato, but I just want to give my two cents and then hear your thoughts on it. And I know the word referral is a lovely word. And when a referral comes in, we're all excited and happy. My concern is that if it wasn't, to our point we just had, if it wasn't set up properly, if it wasn't teed up beautifully for me or for someone else, that it could go, there could be a chasing game, there, it could go dark real fast and it could waste our time. So I'm always using the language quality introduction with the idea of what you and I are saying is that if we can set someone else up where we could help, you know, help them to come across the finish line and make the proper introduction that everybody can win. And do you see it similar to that? Or is that just, am I just moving around words?
No, that's the way to do it. I mean, okay. You can't be in the dark.
Right.
You know, if there's not an explanation, if the person they're writing to doesn't know, there's no reason for meeting.
Yeah.
Reason.
Let me ask you this. Joanne, what do you do when someone makes a great introduction? Like I've agreed to meet John. You introduced me and John. I've agreed to meet John. And you make an email introduction and we're all on board. And then John is ghosting me even after he said he would meet with me. How should I deal with that as far as a follow-up to get the meeting with John? Because he did agree to it, but when it came down to it, his organizational skills, time management skills, he's busy with a trial, something came up. I don't know, right? I'm in the dark about it, but I also don't want to be a pest. So there's a fine line that lawyers are walking with follow-up. What's your key to a good follow-up?
Well, first, go back to the person who introduced you.
Okay.
You know, John hasn't responded. You know what? Can you help me with what's going on? It could be anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's summer, it could be on vacation. It could be somebody's sick. It could be, you know, the kids are going back to school. I mean, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully not something that's tragic, but we need to know that.
Right.
And
right.
So if your contact comes back and says, oh, gee, I don't know why he did that. He's always very responsible. Well, then you could ask your client to figure it out or to talk to John and say, why haven't you talked to Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes what I'll do is I will write a short email with this subject line. It happens rarely. I will put referrals on hold, ? And that's in the subject line.
Yes.
And then I'll write like a couple sentences. And typically it's something like, oh, we've been so busy, or yes, I want to do it, but not now. Or, you know, whatever it is, at least you have closure.
Mm-hmm. So you're sending an email to kind of get a response or a reaction to know where you are, because it's the not knowing that hurts.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if somebody likes to deliver bad news.
Right.
Then that's a fact.
Yeah.
And so maybe the person's stalling, maybe he doesn't really want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I mean, that's similar to something I teach, which is I've got a name. I'm pretty sure I stole this from somebody down the road, but I call it okay, not okay. And like, I will take a not okay position with the understanding that a good person will come and rescue me. So to say, you know, hey, I've been, you know, emailing you. I don't know if you're getting them or not, but I, you know, I apologize if there's anything that I've said or did that has, you know, stopped you from, you know, progressing this forward to take a meeting. If so, I apologize. I really hope that's not the case. Now, I probably didn't do much wrong or anything wrong, but if somebody doesn't respond to that and say, no, Steve, that's not you. I've been in a trial. I definitely want to meet with you. Here's a date and time that works. And now we've progressed it forward, or they don't respond, in which case, what am I learning? maybe not a great person or maybe not someone that I want to meet or do business with because they're blowing me off multiple times, even after some language where I've taken some ownership of them not following up, like I did something. And, you know, we could call it a technique, but we could also call it, you know, a way to get to the truth, which is half the battle.
Well, I always say I always like a yes, but I'd rather have a no than a maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good.
Or
really
ghosting.
Good. So let's dive in for just, this will be kind of our last little segment. If you had to say, you know, there was one or two tips that we haven't covered today that helps people really get results with referral marketing, referral asking, getting introductions from clients, what would you say are the one or two other tips that haven't been shared yet?
Well, that's tough. There are a few things you can do.
Okay.
But as I say, it's simple. It's not easy. However, one of the things I recommend is if you haven't read Atomic Habits,
okay,
by Jane, and you don't read that book once, you read it in phases. But this quote stuck with me when I read it, and I'm going to look at my screen so I say it properly. Ultimately, it's your commitment to the process that will determine your progress. You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fail to the level of your systems. Mm. And referral selling is a system. So you need to have a strategy, metrics. So that's the accountability, because if you're not accountable, not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It is a skill that needs to be learned and practiced and coached. And there needs to be, again, that accountability and reinforcement. So again, it's simple. It's not easy. And it's our biggest competitive differentiator of anything.
Yeah. I was going to add to that. Something that lawyers need to think more about, and we could probably go down a rabbit hole for 10 minutes just on this topic, is if I'm a lawyer and I'm servicing a client, they have a matter, I take care of it, they have a problem, I take care of it, and we have that relationship, it's transactional, makes referral asking very difficult. If I've gone above and beyond, I've become their friend, I've become their counselor, I've given them, I helped them hire a new assistant GC. I helped find a wedding planner for the daughter that's getting married for that GC. I've stepped up and gone so above and beyond expectation of just the work that I've developed that type of life with my clients. What does that do to the referral asking momentum?
Well, it's going to accelerate it. Absolutely.
Extremely.
I would also say if we do an exceptional job with this client, we shouldn't need anything beyond that.
Yeah. But I get that. And I think exceptional work and fair pricing is sort of, I want to say that's now maybe more of the baseline. Okay. I think you need to have those expectations set and met. And then like the thing lawyers aren't thinking of is like, what else can I or should I be doing? Is that building the social relationship? Is that sending thank you letters? Is that finding something interesting about, you know, their kid loves guitar. And I found a really cool guitar store in their neighborhood that just opened. And I sent them a little piece about it. Like, anything we can do to kind of continue to develop that relationship, I think, A, you keep a client longer, and B, I think it greases the gears to get referrals in a much more fluid way.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you that thank you notes.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I've referred people, I've never heard from them, I've heard from my client. Do you think I'd ever refer that person again? No. So handwritten, I don't care how lousy your handwriting is, on your firm's stationery thank you note, whatever, you write a thank you note. It could be a handwritten, please, handwritten envelope with a real stamp.
Yeah, that's such and an that's such a underutilized tool these days, right?
I mean, it's not happening.
No, no.
And you set yourself apart by just doing that. So for all my clients, that is required.
Yeah. Listen, we have to wrap up. This will be 30 seconds. It's failing forward. Give me an example of a fail forward that you had in your career.
I was fired. And I know the reason why. It was devastating that it never happened to me. That was the impetus to start my business because that was in 1996.
Yeah.
And that so, when my colleagues came, said, you should start your own business. So that's how it happened.
Sometimes the things that are hardest, the pills that are hardest to swallow end up doing the most, having the most benefit in our lives. I mean, I think we have to look at every time we get knocked down as an opportunity to recover. I think that's really a great theme in general for anybody and everybody. Hey, we have to wrap up. Let's, of course, thank our wonderful sponsors. We've got Legalverse. If you want to check out all types of great content, internationally focused, business development, marketing, you name it, anything business, legal related, We've got PIMCON coming up in October. It's a great personal injury event. You're going to want to check that out, PIMCON.org. And of course, Law Her podcast with Sonia Palmer, crushing it every single week. People want to get in touch with you, Joanne. They want to talk to the referral master. How do they reach you?
So two ways. First, please connect with me on LinkedIn and say you've listened to this podcast and click the bell on my profile. You'll get notified of my post.
Yes.
The second is my email is Joanne, J-O-A-N-N-E, at nomorecoldcalling.com.
Yes. Awesome. And that'll all be in the show notes for everybody. Joanne, thank you so much. I'm just so happy that we had a chance to meet, talk. I hear your name pushed around provisors all the time and in the networks that you're in, and really, really amazing. So thank you for coming on the show, sharing your wisdom.
It's a pleasure and a treat. Thanks, Steve.
Awesome. Awesome. And thank you everybody for hanging out with Joanne and I for the last 30 minutes. If you didn't get 3 to 7, I'm just ballparking, takeaways from today, you weren't paying attention, go back and listen again, take notes. Lots and lots of important things that could make you so much more money than a lot of other things you could be doing for business. I mean, getting referrals from clients is the key to not wasting time and getting to the root of where the business is. So take it seriously and get on it. Obviously, if anybody has any other questions, you can reach me at steve@fretzen.com. Thanks, everybody. Be safe. Be well. We will talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fretzen.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.